everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White and Chris Hemmelman of Coram Deo Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And last week, we talked about celebration and looking back at the things God has done in the last 10 years in the life of Coram Deo Church. And today, we're looking forward. We're going to just chit-chat. We're going to banter about what God is doing and what God might be doing in the future.
The big thing is we're planting a church in Bellevue. Yeah. First City Church, we announced a week or two ago, we're planting in Bellevue. And that's exciting. It's exciting for us to be planting a church locally. And so we want to have some time to talk about that and just about the broader idea and the broader work of church planting. So, Chris, the Lord brought you here and called you to take the lead on this church plant in Bellevue. So you want to just sort of talk a little bit about how did the Lord get you here, and what do you envision this thing being? How did we get to this, and what are you excited about, and what are you envisioning in Bellevue?
Well, how the Lord got us here is kind of a long story, so I will try to keep it brief. But Mindy and I have been living on the East Coast, Arlington, Virginia, for nearly 8 years, and we had a chance to be a part of a church plant out there. And I think that's where really God started to deal with me as far as a call to pastoral ministry and church planting. And we actually were praying about planting out there. I thought that that's where God was going to ultimately lead us to plant. But through a number of circumstances, he redirected us back to the Midwest. And a little bit more detail, because some of this is interesting in how fast it moved. So I just randomly walked up to Bob. Well, not super randomly, but walked up to Bob.
It was kind of random.
It was in November.
In Texas,
at an Acts 29 conference, and introduced myself and said, "Hey, tell me about the Midwest. What's happening in the Midwest? Because my wife and I are considering coming back." And so out of that conversation, Mindy and I started praying about if indeed we should come back to the Midwest, and felt like God was moving us that direction. And I think a big piece of it too was our sense of fit with Coram Deo. I think that initial conversation, then we visited about a month later, we came back to Omaha, met the rest of the elders, except Paul, which is really ironic in all of this, that Paul is planting with me, and at that first meeting, he was not there.
He stood probably at his like grandma's birthday party.
It was his grandma's birthday party. So out of that meeting and then attending a Sunday service, attending a prayer meeting, we just felt this strong affinity and affection for Coram Deo, and felt like it was a place that we could come and be a part of. And so the end of January, we were back in Omaha. So first conversation in November, end of January, we were back. But when we came back, our intention was to go to Des Moines. We thought that's where the Lord was leading us. We had the faith to do it. And so that was our plan. And after my assessment, Bob gave me a kind of compelling pitch, not super compelling, in his basement. He was more like, "Hey, we want to plant in Bellevue. What do you think about that?" And we started praying about it. And the things that shifted for us was, one, again, just loving being a part of Coram Deo, loving the culture, feeling like this is where our heart beats for ministry, the way discipleship and worship and preaching and all the things that Mindy and I, our convictions are, that was at Coram Deo. So just wanting to be a part of that, growing to love the people, growing to love just the staff and the culture of leadership that was here, and wanting to be a part of that, and thinking, "Hey, if I'm going to do ministry with somebody, I want to do ministry with people like this." And so that was compelling to us. And then really the story of what was happening in Bellevue, the fact that 10 years ago, one gospel community, about 12, 15 people, 10 years later, well over 100, seven gospel communities, people being saved, people being baptized, and a lot of that happening just over the past few years. That was compelling to me, as like God's doing something there. This is the makings of a church plant, of the kind of multiplication, the people living in Bellevue or living on mission, making disciples. They had a heart to see a church planted there. So all of those things, it's like, got to pay attention to that. And so as Mindy and I prayed, like, yeah, since God was calling us to join what was already happening. So we feel very humbled in the sense that we're just coming in and being able to benefit from a history that has already been laid. And so we see our role as kind of a handoff, like here is a trust to take and to continue doing. And that's humbling, scary in some ways. In some ways, it's like a church planter's dream, but in some ways it's scary because you really are building off the trust of other people and the work that they have done. And so we don't take that lightly. We definitely are entering into that in a prayerful way, but we are super excited about what God is going to do in Bellevue.
It's been fun to see sort of the ways the Lord has brought this about internally too, Dusty. We'd been talking about planting in Bellevue for probably 5 years now, had that on the radar as a place we wanted to move toward. When we merged churches with Core Community in 2011, we envisioned that as a way of sort of getting more resources pointed toward the work of church planting. And that didn't materialize in the ways that we thought it would, or maybe that we had hoped for. And so it felt like for a few years there, we were sort of just kind of stuck in neutral or maybe grinding the gears. I don't know. Just we want to plant more churches and we want to be reaching the city, but, you know, it feels like we're not really getting there right now. And, you know, things aren't as smooth as they could be. And then we had in 2014 said, all right, this is the year. We're doing something in Bellevue. And then you remember we had an elder deacon meeting in August about that time, August 2014 at Paul Gardner's house, where we just put the brakes on that and said, hey, let's pray. We don't feel like we have the right leader. And so let's seek the Lord on this. And we came away from that meeting saying, yeah, we need to put the brakes on. So in just trusting the Lord out of that time of prayer, saying, okay, we've said to our church, we're going to plant something in Bellevue in 2014. And now we're going to go to them and say, no, we're not. What gives us the confidence to do that? And really the answer is, well, we feel that confident from the Lord in prayer that that's the right decision. So it was fun to see what maybe was a, what people would consider a bad leadership decision. You said you're doing one thing and now you're not. Mm-hmm. Really being a clear picture of our value of structure submits to Spirit, of saying, hey, we've said we're going to do this, but the Spirit has not given us what we need to go forward now. And so we'll put that on hold. And 3 months later, ran into Chris in Dallas, and that sort of began this really crazy, sovereign, providential putting of together of pieces that's gotten us to this. So it's been fun to see all of that happen and all of that come together. And again, as we talked about on the podcast last week, you know, I'm always mystified by things don't work like they should, and then they work in ways you didn't expect they would. And it's interesting to see how the providence of God plays out in all that.
First City Church, an autonomous church, or is it a Coram Deo church, or what are we doing here?
What is going on?
What is this thing?
Yeah. Well,
rogue.
That has gone through some developments. I think initially we talked about planting a Coram Deo congregation, so Coram Deo Bellevue, that in many ways would function autonomously, have its own elders, own preaching pastor, own gospel communities, but would still be a congregation of Coram Deo, still have the same structures and same sort of central leadership. But as we thought through what that would look like down the road, plant one church, one congregation, two congregations, three, four, five, just the leadership aspect of that, as far as our conviction about elders being responsible for the whole church, just got very unwieldy and seemed like it was going to be more work than would be necessary. So we decided instead to go the route of planting a completely autonomous church, in the sense that it will be its own legal entity, have its own elders, be run by those elders, but be in a stronger network relationship with Coram Deo, so that we will have the same ministry philosophy. We're going to have the same mission statement, same five core values, many of the same rhythms and ministry structures as Coram Deo, but at the same time, being able to tweak those as we see fit within the context of Bellevue. So as Bob said at a meeting one time, and I like this analogy, you'll see the family resemblance, but we will be our own person in that sense. So that is what we're looking to plant.
So Chris, you mentioned a network, being networked with Coram Deo. Guys, what elders, Bob and Dusty, what is that going to look like in the future? Or at least what do we think it's going to look like?
First City Church will be its own church, and we will still be deeply connected in a lot of ways.
Yeah, this idea of network is a way of embracing relational connectedness. It's a way of embracing spiritual communion. So, you know, we're a part of a broader network called Acts 29, which First City will also be part of, that's more of just a theological and philosophical alignment of what kinds of churches are we committed to planting and a commitment to church planting. But then underneath that larger umbrella, there's things that we do, for instance, our particular philosophy of gospel communities, of worship, of how we understand gospel-centered preaching to work. There's some of those things that we feel like are even a, there's even a tighter DNA and a tighter affinity there that we want to both preserve and pass on as we plant churches in Omaha. And so those pieces are there's like, it's sort of, I use the metaphor of like your extended family and then your nuclear family, you know? So Acts 29 is sort of our extended family, our uncles and cousins and aunts and second cousins and all those folks that we like to get together with and celebrate. But there's also this sense of a city network that's more like a nuclear family where it's like brothers and sisters and, you know, folks that get together around the table at Thanksgiving and tell stories about, you know, growing up together and those kinds of things. And that's really the tighter kind of affinity that we want to embrace and create is to use Chris's point there, that eventually you'd be able to go to multiple churches in the city and there's a family resemblance there. You know, they're distinct churches, they're unique, reaching a particular neighborhood or subset of the city, but there's a real clear family resemblance and a real clear synergy.
So Bob, one of the first things I remember, we were back in the old house office. I was an intern, and this is one of the things you were talking about. You're talking about a citywide church network. Is this kind of the first fruits of that?
Yeah, man, we hope so. I mean, that's, again, took a lot longer to get there than
sure.
We hoped it would. But yeah, that's, you know, this is where we feel like, okay, we're jumping off in that now. Mm-hmm. And hopefully the Lord will continue to grant grace and raise up leaders and bring people to do this again and again in ways that, yeah, we begin to see that happen across the city. And again, that's, you know, we're also trying to network with other churches that are not Coram Deo. So that there's actually sort of three layers of network. There's the Coram Deo network, which is a very tight DNA affinity. There's other churches that we partner with in the city through like the Gospel Coalition Omaha that are just, you know, share a commitment to gospel centered ministry and we love them and want to see them thrive. And then there's that broader network of Acts 29, which is regional and national and international that gives us what we like about Acts 29 is it helps us assess, you know, and so we know if a guy passes an Acts 29 assessment, he's qualified to plant a church. He shares similar vision and values and doctrine. And so it just makes it easy for us to figure out how do we invest church planting dollars in places like South America and Europe and the Dominican Republic, places like that. So
exciting times.
This is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to see the Lord bring this together. And you know, it's our hope that I'm compelled by, I just keep looking at statistics, right? And so no matter what data you look at, it continues to show that there's more and more people who are religiously unaffiliated and more traditional churches that are dying. And so this very much is not just about, let's replicate what we're doing because we really like what we're doing. And we like who we are and we think there should be more churches like us. But this is very much about, and if we don't plant churches, there's not for our kids and grandkids, right? There's not going to be a healthy, robust, gospel-centered church community that's engaging the city. And so this is very much about, we want to continue this dynamic of reaching more and more people, passing on the heritage of faith and godliness to the next generation, and hopefully handing something to our kids and grandkids in the city of Omaha that is different from what is now. Because there's been renewal and there's been vibrant church planting and there's been a sense that as the culture has moved more and more in a post-Christian direction, there have also been churches that have moved more and more in a gospel, you know, biblical, healthy direction. And so that there's a healthy heritage for them to inherit.
Paul and I were talking about this recently as we get ready to launch this First City in Bellevue. Two pieces of how we're looking at gospel renewal. On the one hand, Bellevue, while there's a general respect for the church in the city, is becoming more and more, I guess you could say, either unchurched, dechurched, where the large majority, I think it's over like 80% of the people, do not regularly attend a religious service on a Sunday. And then if you look at like Sarpy County, only 42% of the county identifies, and that's just saying they identify with a particular religious tradition. So the trajectory of Bellevue and Sarpy County is more and more, like you said, Bob, people not affiliated with the church, people who have been de-churched, maybe they walked away from the church, or those who just have not been evangelized and have no church background. And so in that sense, we want to bring the gospel to those people, and see ourselves like that's why we're there. We're there for those people. And in that sense, we're there for the city. And so as those people come to know Christ and are discipled, that we would see the city renewed, the city flourish. But then there's this other piece too, where, and we talked a little bit about this last week, of gospel-centeredness, that how that is a renewal movement too within the church. And so we hope that our influence within the church community of Bellevue would be a renewing presence as well. And so we're not going in with the sense of like, we're better than you guys and we're going to do things differently and show you how it's done. But hey, this is what we're about. We hold this out and we hope that this will also influence other churches. I think of two churches in Bellevue that have either been using or starting to use the gospel-centered life in their small groups and the effect that that's having. And so we want to be about that in the city too. And so that's what I love about this network idea is not only taking the gospel to those who don't know Christ, but being an influence within the church in the Omaha area and how we can see renewal within those churches as well. So I get really excited about that.
Chris, as I'm just listening to you right now talk about that vision, I get excited. What are some things right now, like maybe over the next month or two, that as I listen to this podcast, perhaps I could be praying for, either for you and Paul as you lead this thing, or for just some of the practical things as well? What's forefront right now?
Yeah. One, on the practical end, just pray that we find a good space for Sundays. We have a church letting us use their space for our core team gatherings this fall. Very generous, but we're still trying to nail down a good space for Sunday. So just pray that we get that. I think it's going to be an important piece as we begin to gather. So when we launch officially in January, we break off from Cormdale. I think the other thing, and this is just personally, Mindy and I are very eager to move to Bellevue. We're still, you know, we're Westo still. So we're looking for a house.
Lots of prayer. Just kidding.
And so pray that we find one. We pray that we're able to move there. I think the closer we get to this and more our life is shifting there, the more we kind of feel that mm-hmm. burden to be there. And then I think too, for Paul and I, as we lead this, just that we continue to experience unity and are able to care for each other and be helpful to each other in that sense. And man, the spiritual warfare already that we're starting to experience, mm-hmm. Just in small ways, and little things that you don't necessarily realize until after the fact. So just pray that we, for Mindy and I, just with our marriage and, that we're just consistently relying on Jesus and are cultivating good spiritual disciplines at this time as life gets more and more crazy, because Satan hates church planning. He hates it, and he's going to come after us. So I would say the same thing for Paul and Michelle. Pray for their family, and as they are probably going to experience Satan's attacks even more.
Slight shift of gears, Chris. I'm curious, because as we talk about the future and as we talk about where we're heading, my longing is there's a bunch of guys listening to this podcast going, man, I kind of want to be a church planter. Yeah. You know, I'm compelled by this. How do I move in that direction? So for you, Chris, how old are you right now?
35.
Okay, so what advice would you give to a guy who's 25 or, you know, in that 10 years behind you, who wants to maybe move in this direction? So what are some of the key pieces of advice you give to a young dude saying, well, man, I want to be involved in church planting. How do I get there?
Yeah, I would say this. If you strip away all the glamour of church planting at its bare bones, church planting is about making disciples. And I would say, give yourself to discipleship. So whether you're, you know, whatever, no matter what your job is, no matter what your position in the church, give yourself to making disciples. And if you can do that outside of a church context, you're going to be better inside a church context. And so I know some guys, like, they just want to rush into full-time ministry and think that that's the only way that they can prepare for church planting. And I would say no. I would say no matter where you are, give yourself to that. But then I would say find a church, find leaders that you can submit to and learn from, and that they can pass on a DNA and a way of doing ministry that you can carry with you. I mean, it, being discipled is huge. I mean, my faith for church planting and really the pieces of it where God really started to shape me for it took place under the discipleship of men who could disciple me and could kick my butt when that needed to happen. And then even coming to Corumdale and knowing that that would be there. So be led, be willing to be led, be willing to be discipled, because when you're 25, you don't know really anything. You may think you do.
Come on, man. But I'm 25, I know everything, right?
So you just need to be humble. And I would also say this, don't be in a rush. You're excited. You kind of have this vision. You think you know the way church should be, and really you're compelled by this vision of seeing the gospel go forward and seeing churches planted, and that's awesome and that's great. But man, just let the process run. The Lord knows what he's doing. He has things for you. He wants to mature you and grow you. And so let that process run its course. Don't be in a rush. I've never talked to a church planter that said, man, I just took too much time getting ready. It's always
no stories like that.
Yes. I mean, so be patient with the process. You will be grateful for it. And I think I know Bob, you would say this, that there are so many ways you kind of look back and say, man, my immaturity, I had to experience a lot of bumps and bruises because of my immaturity or because of certain things. And so the more you can learn to and grow and mature, the less heartache for you and the less heartache for your people. So take your time.
Why First City Church for name?
That's a good question. So as we were throwing around different names for the church, we wanted a name that reflected what we were about. And so we had a number of different angles to that. And I think the reason why First City was compelling is because it really communicates our desire to be for Bellevue. So Bellevue is the oldest city in Nebraska, so it's literally the first city. And so we chose this name to say, look, we believe that if Bellevue is impacted for the gospel, that's going to spill over into Sarpy County, it's going to spill over into Cass County, parts of Omaha. And so the more we are for this city and reaching the people here, we're going to have impact and see gospel renewal happen. And so we want the people of Bellevue to know as a church we're for this city. So we want our name to reflect an identification with Bellevue.
I'm just excited. Bob, you mentioned at the beginning how there's been starts, there's been stops, there's been stalled out moments. There's been kind of moments of like, what's going on? I thought we were doing this. And so now for me, even I'm just excited because, I'm excited to be able to send you guys. Some of my favorite stories, over the last few years come out of people, that have been faithful to Bellevue. And so I feel like it's just time. And so I'm really excited to be able to not have really any qualms and not have any worries and to not have any major concerns, glaring concerns about like, well, I think this is going to work. It just seems like what the Lord is up to and what he's been up to, what he's been doing. It just seems like it's time. And so there's a ton of like enthusiasm and encouragement that I have, just even sitting here today listening to you, Chris. So I'm stoked.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in. And we pray that the things that we've talked about today might be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. Please join the conversation by tweeting us and celebrating with us on Twitter at Corumdale Omaha. And we'll talk to you again next week on the Wednesday Conversation.